Western Illinois University's Organic Research Farm is holding its annual field day on August 13th. Andy Ambriol is a 27-year-old farmer from Northeast Indiana. He will deliver the event's keynote address on transitioning nearly half of his family's grain farm into an organic operation. While Ambriol's father continues to raise corn and soybeans with the help of herbicides, pesticides, GMOs, and synthetic fertilizer, Ambriol is taking a different path. He uses manure and cover crops to fertilize the soil and tractor-pulled cultivators as his primary weed control. In addition to raising certified organic corn and soybeans, Ambriol grows a variety of small grains. Ambriol sat down with Tri-State's Public Radio's Abby Wendell. He begins by explaining to Abby how other farmers responded to him going organic.
Organic people are crazy. But I don't know. A lot of people get hung up on that end of it, but... As it's getting more and more popular, versus say 10 years ago, there's people that are starting to actually ask better questions. There's people that are maybe leaning that direction or thinking about it. So,
can you give me an example of a way in which people are asking better questions?
A lot of people are asking more the how questions instead of what you're doing, instead of, oh, organic farmers, don't spray. Well, how do you control weeds? Well, how does your soil respond after, 3 to 5 years?
So maybe there's a little more curiosity versus judgment or something.
Yeah, probably that's a good way to put it, yeah. And I think the main driving force, right now is purely economics. We're just coming down off of probably the best 5 to 7 year period in agriculture that's possibly ever been, or at least in the past 50 years. As the conventional market's headed lower, there's guys looking for options. And I think ultimately it doesn't really matter what we think or if we think organic will work or if it's not. If it's profitable, guys are going to want to do it and they're going to figure out a way to do it.
What about when it comes to the organic market? How are things faring?
Things are steady or headed up. Historically, organic has averaged about twice what the conventional market is. Today,
the price per bushel?
Yeah, price per bushel.
Okay.
Yeah. Historically, it's always about double. Mm-hmm. Today, we're sitting at about three times. The big thing driving the organic market right now is demand is far exceeding supply. We're importing a tremendous amount of organic corn and soybeans.
From where?
The number one country that we're importing from is Romania. A lot of the old Eastern Bloc countries that have a lot of idle farmland, the way prices are, they're starting to farm it again, and it's being able to be certified right off the bat.
Where do the organic corn and soybeans go versus where the conventional corn and soybeans go in your operation?
Okay. A lot of the conventional corn and soybeans go to an ethanol plant or a biodiesel plant.
Mm-hmm.
The organic stuff, I sell some food grade stuff, like soybeans that goes to make tofu. In my area, there's a pretty good size organic chicken operation that uses a lot of feed. There's a few dairies that I sell to.
So they're using, they have an organic animal operation and source organic grain?
There's an organic feed mill that I sell to, too. So,
what about some of the environmental benefits? Can you kind of look at your land and see any difference in water loss or soil quality or anything like that compared to the acreage that's conventionally farmed?
Oh, most definitely. Changes don't happen overnight. But the first field that I've started with 8 years ago is definitely the best. And some of the recently, transitioned ground still has some work to do. I'm seeing improvements.
Are there just more butterflies and bunnies around, or, what is the, I'm teasing, by the way.
Yeah, there's some people that's all they care about, no, definitely.
Is it like a yield increase?
Yes, I've seen increased yields, the soil tilth is there.
Tilth being the kind of way in which it crumbles?
Yeah, it crumbles. You can see, Earthworms are crazy. You walk out there in the spring, just pick any random spot in the field, take a shovelful, there'll be 10 to 12 to 20 earthworms, you know, crawling around just in a shovelful of soil. It's kind of amazing. All the beneficial molds that you can see on crop residue, you know, that crop residue is breaking down. It's decomposing biologically. Just a lot of things that it's kind of hard to describe it in words. It's one of those things that you just really need to step on the farm and look at.
I've read about, and I can't remember the name of the farmer, but he's pretty well known. But he talks about how, like, if you sort of are treating the soil in the right way and you're giving it the nutrients that it needs, it's not that you won't have any weeds, but there will be sort of like a natural suppression because your plants are healthy and happy, and so they'll just be more likely to, like, the ones that you want to grow, so they'll just be more likely to outcompete the weeds. Have you experienced anything like that? Have you heard of that?
I've definitely seen, as the soils change, the weeds that you experience will change too. And there's different, you know, indicator weeds that actually indicate, you know, how well you're doing.
Hmm. Can you give me an example?
An example would be like foxtail grass. It likes low calcium, hard compacted soil. My beginning years, starting out, I struggled with foxtail greatly. And as the soil has, you know, changed, I've gotten my calcium levels up, taking care of compaction issues. I don't have as big a problem with foxtail as what I have. And what the foxtail that I do have, it's not choking out, like, for instance, in beans. It's not choking out the beans anymore. The beans are choking out the foxtail.
Right.
You know, this spring we've had, this has been the worst spring that we've had ever since I've been farming from a wetness standpoint. I had fields that they got planted, couldn't get in to do any rotary hoeing, couldn't get in to do any cultivation till over a month later. And to this day, they look pretty good. I'm not saying there's not a weed out in the field, but they look pretty good. And in stressful years, that it really helps you to have a good balanced soil.
That's interesting. So it's kind of almost like you have that, you know, weed seed bank that's just lying dormant in the soil, and it's just waiting for the right conditions for
it to take over.
And
if you are very opportunistic, we're never going to totally eliminate them. Even, you know, guys that spray and, you know, have clean fields without a single weed in them for 20 years. You know, stop spraying them 1 year and you'll have plenty of weeds. So, yeah, they're very opportunistic. But also, nature wants something to be grown on soil. Soil is there to grow something. Whether it be a cover crop, whether it be a cash crop, whether it just be a weed, there's supposed to be something growing out there. So it's our job as farmers to manage that system, manage it in a biologically friendly way, to get, you know, the outputs that we want, which is, you know, good, high-quality, nutrient-dense crops for us to eat.
Or to feed to animals that we eat.
for something that we want to eat.
Andy Ambriol will give the keynote address at the Allison Farm Field Day, which will be held on August 13th. You can find more details about the event on our website at tspr.org. He spoke with Tri-State's Public Radio's Abby Wendell. Her reporting is produced in partnership with Harvest Public Media. More information at harvestpublicmedia.org.